Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Today, I'll be giving my commentary on Seeking Sister Wife Season 5, Episode 2, Seeking Danielle Davis. The episode opens with Garrick and Danielle. After Garrick gives Sam, his brother-in-law, the news that he and Danielle are dating again, Sam tells Garrick he's got a screw loose. He's nuts. He makes no bones about it. He elaborates that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Danielle breaks the news to her sister-in-law, Samantha, explaining how sweet this potential new sister-wife, Natalia, seems. And Samantha tells her they all seem sweet. Sam and Samantha seem to see what a train wreck this will be, especially for Danielle. Danielle happens to agree with Samantha. She thinks it's crazy. She thinks history could definitely repeat itself. And she also thinks that Danielle and Garrick need to take some time. And she suggests that maybe Garrick should take time to really get to know this girl before getting in bed with her. Samantha asks Danielle if this girl even speaks English. And her response is, no, not really. Samantha finds it amusing, considering, of course, that the language barrier was a huge problem with Roberta, too. Sam points out to Garrick that a language barrier was a huge problem with Roberta, and he wonders if the same issue will arise with this girl, Natalia, who can't speak English or understand it. Garrick feels it's not really a problem, though. As long as his dick gets serviced, he doesn't really care. Garrick explains to Sam the problem with Roberta was her deceiving and her trickery. He says Roberta is the bad guy. In the end, she was the one just using them for money. It seemed to me like they were going to be also using her as an incubator and as a housemaid. Garrick seems to target younger women who he knows are in financially vulnerable situations in other countries. He knows they need money to survive, and he wants to bring them to America where they have never lived before, where they can't communicate, where they can't speak the language, and he wants to put these women in a situation where they are completely vulnerable, where they are completely dependent on him, where he is in control financially and otherwise. You know, was Roberta using them, or was Garrick ultimately preying on her and thinking with his dick? Danielle and Garrick say that they are very apprehensive with dating abroad again. It was a challenge, and Garrick wondered, should they give this new girl the benefit of the doubt? Should they trust her? Danielle wondered if they should fully invest in this, and Garrick wondered if maybe the new girl is lying, or maybe she's wanting to scam them. Danielle swears to viewers that she and Garrick are not stupid. That statement makes me feel like these two are trying to convince themselves more than viewers that they aren't stupid. And this show, by the way, is terribly scripted. Danielle and Garrick are planning to meet the new girl in Mexico. Samantha is very concerned for Danielle. She wonders if Danielle is 100% invested, if she's all in, if she really wants to be meeting this girl or to be dating right now. And Danielle admits, honestly, if it were up to her, she'd say she's feeling like she's not ready yet fully. You know, if Garrick can't hear Danielle express that she is not ready for this and that she's not ready to be fully invested in this, and if he can't respect where Danielle is with this, then Danielle should know she can do better than this marriage. Danielle deserves better. It really seems like what Garrick wants comes first to him, and for Danielle, Garrick also comes first. She doesn't prioritize herself and her well-being at all. And it's sad that Danielle doesn't know that she deserves better or she wouldn't be putting up with this. Danielle says it's really hard to trust people again. And she adds that her heart and her mind aren't recovered yet from the situation with Roberta. Garrick wants to dive back in. He wants to take his mind off the pain. He just wants to move forward. But Danielle knows they have to be cautious. They have to think this through. Garrick won't listen. He only cares about his ego and what he wants, and he only thinks with his little brain, and that's it. Sam reminds Garrick not to send money to this girl. He wonders if the new girl has been requesting money already. Sam wonders if Garrick is going to be smarter this time. And Garrick says that Natalia hasn't been asking for money. So Sam asks if Natalia has a job. And Garrick says she just graduated law school. He doesn't think she has a job, though. He doesn't know. But Garrick says he thinks that maybe she started applying for jobs, but he doesn't know. And Sam wonders if Natalia just wants money. He thinks Garrick should be the one asking questions. But he says Garrick already has the stupid love look in his eyes. And Sam can't believe Garrick is doing this again. He says Garrick is a very forgiving guy. And he thinks this is really not a smart decision to jump into this all the way that Garrick is. And Sam warns Garrick that it's important to get to know somebody and to get to know them in person and not just over the phone. Garrick breaks the news that they're actually going to go meet this girl. They're going to meet her with her mom in Mexico. And Garrick is the one footing the bill, paying for the whole vacation, paying for them to travel. And Sam points out that Garrick is already giving them money. He's paying for Mexico, and he's probably done even more. Samantha is hoping that Garrick and Danielle are smarter this time, that they get to really know this girl better before they propose. Samantha wonders if Garrick is considering proposing already, even though he hasn't even met this girl. And Danielle breaks the news that he is already considering it, and Samantha points out that this is history repeating itself. Danielle says she doesn't know if Garrick will propose. It's not guaranteed, but we learn Garrick has already custom made a ring for the girl without even meeting her, and he already plans on proposing. Samantha thinks Garrick is moving way too fast. He wants to propose. He hasn't even met this girl yet. She thinks it's crazy. She thinks that Garrick is nuts. And I agree. Garrick is very selfish. Garrick is thinking with his dick. Danielle is nervous about this. She hopes it's going to work out, but she says Garrick already loves the girl. So Danielle thinks Garrick will definitely want to propose in Mexico. And Samantha points out that Roberta was so devastating for them, and this is moving way too fast. And Danielle feels with all that they went through, the stuff with Roberta, it's all still very fresh. And she wonders, what if it's too soon? What if they should wait? What if they should take more time to heal before they move forward? She feels like both she and Garrick's hearts are still very fragile. They're still very hurt from what happened with Roberta. Sam doesn't want to stomp on Garrick's parade, but he feels after everything with Roberta, all the crying, all the pain, all the heartache they went through, that maybe they should take things slower. He's really just trying to look out for them. He doesn't want history repeating itself and all that heartbreak happening again. And Sam warns Garrick, if he hurts his sister Danielle again, he's going to have to bury him in a hole. Garrick says he's not the one who hurt his wife. He didn't hurt Sam's sister, his wife Danielle. It's not on him. It's on Roberta. This guy is a typical selfish fuckface. He takes zero accountability at all. He didn't hurt her. No, it wasn't him. It was Roberta. When Garrick was thinking with his dick this whole time, and Garrick thinking with his dick is how they got here and how he caused endless suffering to his wife in the first place. All Danielle wants is her husband to love her and appreciate her and validate her. She wants a family for her kids. She wants the husband she fell for at one time. And instead, she has a selfish, ego-driven, midlife crisis, peanut-brained nincompoop for a husband. And all he wants is a hot piece of ass. And Danielle accepts this for herself, knowing she deserves more, knowing her kids deserve more than this trash as an example for her sons of what a man should be, of what a father should be. Danielle deserves better. Her sons deserve better, and everyone around Danielle knows that she deserves better but herself, and it's really sad. Sam warns Garrick he better make sure that this new girl is the right one before he jumps in, and he tells Garrick straight up he knows Garrick thinks he's going to be handling this thing differently, but he isn't. He's doing the exact same thing he did with Roberta. Next up are the Sherwoods, Ashley and Shane. Shane is meeting Grace today. Grace and Ashley have been dating for a couple of months now, And Grace has been hesitant to meet Shane.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So this is a missing piece right now in determining where things go from here. So Ashley really wants to have Grace meet Shane and to see how this introductory meeting goes. It's incredibly awkward. Shane seems nervous. He stumbles on his words. Shane sees Grace and he sees what Ashley says about her at least being attractive. But he wants to get to know Grace. Grace says she's an open book. Grace hasn't always dated women. She's dated men for the majority of her life, but recently she realized this was where she wanted to be, and she has heard a lot about ethical non-monogamy, and with her connection with Ashley, she decided to just see what happens with it. Shane says that Grace really not wanting to get to know him in the beginning is a huge red flag for him. And he tells her it really threw him off that she didn't want to meet him right away. He felt cast aside or like Grace was maybe trying to steal Ashley from him. Grace says no. After all, she was at their wedding. She was the hair and makeup artist. Shane says she was also dating his wife at the time when she didn't want to meet him yet. So Shane is really navigating through that. Grace wonders how she should act and behave with Ashley in front of her husband. She says it's a little awkward for her. She doesn't typically care if people like her or not, but obviously she knows if it's going to work with herself and with Ashley, then she and Shane also need to be on the same page. They need to get along, and she knows they need to at least have a camaraderie at minimum. Shane tells Grace he knows that she and his wife, they've been on a few dates, and they still haven't gotten physical, and he wants to know why not. Grace defers to Ashley on that, and Ashley wants Grace to answer. Shane knows that his wife and Grace have been on 6 or 7 dates so far. It hasn't gotten physical. He really wants to know why. Grace doesn't answer, so next he asks Grace about her hobbies. And we learn she's a coach in the personal development field, and she helps people develop peace internally in their lives. She does this typically for entrepreneurs. She helps them remove blocks and belief systems that hold them back from living a fulfilling life. And she feels that she communicates with the universe, and she says it's called channeling. Grace is very interested in Shane's reaction to her channeling. So she's taking it slow, and she tells Shane that he sounds skeptical of her work. Shane admits he doesn't fully believe her channeling with the universe. He doesn't understand it, and he says that's his look of despair because he doesn't understand what she does. Now, Grace says she felt judged by Shane, and it was interesting for her to watch his reactions to what she mentioned. And she says Shane just shut down. Shane is really trying to understand, and Grace gets kind of disrespectful. Shane asks if she helps these people through her coaching business by telling them about a higher power. He's really trying to understand what it is that Grace does. And she asks him in kind of a condescending way if he understands what therapy is. She's kind of condescending. Her whole vibe is condescending. And Shane seems to really honestly be trying to understand what she does, even if it's really not his thing. Now, Shane says, well, you go to a therapist and they help you fix your problems. And Grace tells him no, as if he's an idiot. And she tells him he obviously hasn't ever been to therapy and that it shows. Shane tells her he just is trying to connect the dots. He can't connect the dots to understand what she does. And Shane tells Grace he doesn't agree that there is a higher power that is giving you signs that's going to make your life better. He feels if you want to improve, if you want to fix things, if you want to change, you have to do it for yourself. They move on from that conversation, but it is very awkward. There's a very negative energy. There's condescension coming from Grace. And Shane says Grace seems like she is full of herself. That's how he felt. And she was talking to him. And during this whole awkward conversation, Ashley has been completely silent and quiet, and it's just awkward. Grace asks Shane about himself. She really wants to know what made him look at this lifestyle and think that it was a great idea. And Shane says he wants his wife Ashley to be happy first and foremost. So whatever Ashley chooses, he wants to be able to get along with this person she chooses. And he wants to not feel like there is any turmoil between them. Shane tells Grace that Ashley felt turmoil up until this meeting between all of them because she felt like she was living two separate lives since Shane and Grace didn't really know each other. Ashley says it's intense on both ends during this meeting, and she feels obligated to stand by both of them to a degree. She's really uncomfortable. The meeting's really awkward. And Grace makes a quick exit before lunch is even over. Grace says it would have been nice if Ashley had interjected more, and she thinks Ashley is interested in spirituality and the work she does, and she doesn't know if it has to do with Shane's presence or not, but she says she and Ashley, they've had conversations about it. So Grace has started to wonder if maybe Shane and Ashley are not completely on the same page like they think they are. Shane says it was a very weird meeting. It was an awkward meeting with Grace. Awkward is an understatement. Next up are the Davis family. Nick loves being a father. He says it's the best thing that ever happened to him, and he takes his role as a stay-at-home dad very seriously. He is all dressed up in a dress shirt and tie, and he explains playing Mr. Mom is serious business here, so he likes to dress the part. Jennifer gets home from work and she asks Nick if she talked to Danielle at all today. Jennifer wonders how Danielle has been doing. As we recall, Nick and April and Jennifer are all very eager to be dating. They want to add at least one or two more sister wives to their family, and Danielle isn't really ready to do that yet. So she wants to know how Danielle is doing with everything. And we learn that Nick talked to Danielle a little bit earlier and that Danielle was still expressing concern about how things will be with the potential of them expanding the family, dating more sister wives, more potential sister wives. And Nick says things were moving along steadily, but things haven't been perfect with Danielle. Recently, Danielle has mentioned hesitation with the idea of them expanding their family beyond her. And Nick can tell they are all feeling very uneasy about this. Jennifer feels if Danielle is having an issue with dating, it's concerning to her because that process isn't going to change. They're always going to continue to seek another sister wife until their family is complete.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall rock climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Nick asks Jennifer if she thinks they're dating too soon after marrying Danielle. But Jennifer doesn't think so. She thinks that that's what they wanted to make sure Danielle was aware from the start that yes, they fully want her to be in their unit, but they also want to continue expanding and dating right away. And Jennifer says since Danielle has always known that, it's not too soon to start dating regardless of how Danielle feels. So Nick is hoping with the right person that Danielle's concerns and all of her fears will be laid to rest. And Nick knows it's not going to be easy. It's going to take a very special and particular individual to fit into their family. Jennifer feels the question is Danielle cut out for this lifestyle? And Nick says that Danielle has to be honest with herself about whether or not this is truly how she wants to live. So Jennifer, April, and Nick, they're all wanting to date again. And Danielle is very young. She's very vulnerable. And she married Nick. She got herself into this polygamous situation. And yes, she did know from the start that they had every intention to continue dating after they married her. But Danielle has expressed that she is still adjusting to polygamy, to this new lifestyle, and to the family, to this new life, and she isn't really ready to start dating. She isn't really ready to take on a new wife or to marry this woman. And if we recall, Nick has the women in the family marry each other and then take his last name. So Danielle doesn't feel ready, and everyone else is pushing her to get on board now or leave. And they seem to have no interest in Danielle's emotions or how she feels about this. And this seems very culty. It seems like they're just looking for women to marry each other and contribute their incomes to Nick. And the unit seems very culty, and they really don't seem to care about Danielle as a person, about her feelings, about her well-being, about her emotional health. They just seem to care about filling space and building this structure for Nick and his first two wives. They don't really seem to care about Danielle at all or her well-being, and it seems very culty and it's very selfish. Danielle is probably already at the point where she realizes she was possibly preyed upon, that maybe she was vulnerable, and that maybe she may have made the worst mistake of her life. Next up are the Merrifields, Garrick and Danielle, and they talk over a drink about where they're at and about moving forward with the planned trip to Mexico to see Natalia and to meet Natalia's mom. So Garrick and Danielle are mentioning Sam and Samantha's concerns from earlier about this being history repeating itself. And Danielle wonders if maybe they should just take it slower so Garrick can get more time to see this person's true character. Danielle sees Sam and Samantha's points. She thinks they're valid, especially after what happened with Roberta and how it broke Garrick's heart. Danielle doesn't want the pain to hinder them. She says, more than her heart being hurt, she really doesn't want to see Garrick's heart being hurt. Danielle is very worried about this trip to Mexico. She's nervous. She says so much happened with Roberta, it's still fresh, and she has fears about Natalia's intentions, and she should. Danielle tells Garrick that everything seems good now with Natalia. They feel God wants them to be with her, but Danielle admits she has fear, and she feels they should wait. They should get to know Natalia better before jumping into this. Danielle wonders if she's ready for all of this. She says they just went through the craziness of Roberta, and she wonders why they're even doing this. And Garrick responds, if God tells you to do something, you do it. Garrick says if they didn't know that God wanted them to do this, they wouldn't take it so fast. Garrick says God came and met himself and Danielle one day in the garage. They were praying a lot. They were asking God to direct them if this is someone who should be in their family. It was getting serious, even for just talking online. So Garrick asked God, should Natalia be a wife? And he claims a wind, a presence of God, filled the whole garage as they were praying, and this peace and love and joy flowed over them, and they just knew that God was there, that God met himself, Garrick and Danielle, there to witness them both, and that it was serious, and that they needed to move forward with this. Now, as Garrick is explaining this experience with God, this testimony, as if he's a prophet, Danielle is wincing. Her expression on her face is wincing to this God bullshit. She's cringing inside. She is wincing outwardly as Garrick uses God to defend thinking with his dick. Apparently, in Garrick's sick mind, God wants what his dick wants. I can't stand Garrick. I think he's repulsive, and I've had enough of him. Garrick tells Danielle he believes that everything that God has for their life, even the bad stuff, is all for good. And Danielle tells Garrick that's what she told Samantha too. Garrick says he learned from Roberta that you can't control people, you can hope for the best, and you can pray. And Garrick says Samantha and Sam, they're both telling them not to propose yet, to hold off, to take things slow. They want he and Danielle to be thoughtful about this. They want he and Danielle to avoid doing something stupid. If only Garrick listened to them instead of thinking with his dick. Garrick says he isn't going to think about what his brother-in-law and his wife say. He isn't waiting around to commit to people. He doesn't wait around to commit to people. That's something he doesn't do. Garrick says he definitely thinks he'll propose, regardless of what anyone says. He knows he'll propose before he even meets Natalia. And let's not forget, he already has the ring made. He already knows. Listen, Garrick knows he wants to get it in. He's getting it in by hook or by crook. And if he has to propose to cloak his lust in righteousness, if he has to twist God and throw God in there to shut his wife up about her concerns, he'll do it. It's as if his version of God doesn't see everything anyway. So his wife will just tolerate his infidelity. He will use God as an excuse. And if he never wipes Natalia up and it doesn't work out and he got his in, it's okay because he got what he wanted and he proposed, so he did it in the godly way. So in his warped mind, it's all righteous, it's all okay, and God is sanctifying it. And that's disgusting. This guy wants sex. He preys on young women in precarious financial situations who he knows he can control. Women who, if they came to the U.S., would be vulnerable here. They would be trapped. They would have to depend solely on Garrick for everything and financially, and they can't communicate and speak the language. They would have to depend on Garrick financially and otherwise to survive in America, in a country where they don't even know the language. If Garrick doesn't give a fuck about his first wife, once he gets his share and these women age, Garrick will treat them exactly the way he treats Danielle, and he will do twisting God to justify doing what his dick wants. It's nasty, it's gross, it's despicable. And Garrick goes abroad because he knows no American woman who's independent, who works for herself, who thinks for herself, will ever accept his bullshit. He can't control an American woman in the same way he can control a younger woman living in poverty abroad. And it's predatory and it's gross. Garrick says he's going to propose, though. The future is at hand. Garrick explains to Danielle that, yeah, they need to be thoughtful. They need to be prayerful. Remember, God wants this, and they need to be considerate about this. They need to see Natalia. They need to see her mom. They need to see their characters, and they need to evaluate if they feel a connection, and they need to evaluate if this is what they should actually do. Now, Danielle admits that Garrick feels differently than she does, but her gut says they should wait to propose. They're going too fast. She feels this trip is just too soon. Let's not forget, they've only been talking to Natalia for about 4 months, and already he's made her a ring to propose. Danielle says they're anxious to add a wife. They've been trying to live this way for 5 years now, but she knows they still need to be cautious and wise, and they need to not just dive into things. So Danielle wants them to really think it all through, and she voices that. And Garrick adds that they know eventually God has the right people for them, the right women for them to be sisters and wives, and he hopes it's Natalia and that God sent them Natalia. Danielle deserves so much better. I know she thinks she loves Garrick and she can't live without him, and Garrick doesn't give a fuck about Danielle. He's selfish, he cares about himself, he cares about his dick, period. And Danielle can't put her foot down and say, listen, I'm not ready. I need time. She knows Garrick would have absolutely no problem saying, okay, well, I want to do this. God is leading me to do this. We already have a legal divorce already. If you want to, you can leave. If you want to leave, no sweat off my back. But I think Danielle wants to keep Garrick. I think she deserves better, but she knows he would have no problem just leaving her and her sons behind to pursue other women, stick it wherever he wants, all in the name of God. So she just goes along and he deflects to God to shut her up. And the whole thing is layers upon layers of sickness and fuckery. Next up are the Salahuddins, Nyla and Naeem. Nyla asks Naeem's mom what she thinks about this potential sister wife coming. And she says it's just not for her. Nyla says that Keisha, this potential sister wife, may be the one, but Naeem's mom hasn't really had a very good reaction to this. Naeem says his benefit in polygamy is having a bigger family and more love to go around, and his mom suggests that maybe they should just get a dog or a cat if that's what they want. Hell yeah, I love Naeem's mom. Naeem accuses his mom of being closed-minded, and Naeem's mom says just because they're good with polygamy, they can't expect everyone else around them to be good with it. Naeem doesn't care what people think about him. He says he isn't going to waste his energy discussing this with people who don't agree with him. Now, Nyla says his mom doesn't have to embrace polygamy. Naeem explains to his mom that it doesn't matter if she likes it or not. They are just giving her a heads up. They're letting her know what's going to be happening instead of just springing this on her one day with no warning. So Naeem tells his mom about Keisha, their potential new sister wife from Georgia, and she wants to know how Keisha looks. She wonders if Nyla or Naeem picked Keisha out. Nyla explains that she and Keisha formed a friendship. She met her online. She knew her for a few months before she introduced her to Naeem. They haven't met in person yet, but they plan on it happening very soon. And Naeem assures his mom that he and his wife know how to do things in life. And his mom tells him sometimes they don't. I like Naeem's mom. She just says it like it is. She says her opinion. She doesn't give a fuck. And I like that. Naeem's mom wants to know if they have separate quarters, if they're going to live in the same house. And Naeem lets her know they're all going to live in the same house. They're going to live as one big family. And Naeem's mom has had enough. She doesn't want to hear anymore. She says she has to consider everything. She has to think about everything. But this is a lot for her to process. She says it will be interesting to see all this. And Naeem asks what part of it's going to be interesting. And his mom responds, all of it. Back to the Sherwoods, Shane felt that the lunch was weird and awkward. And Ashley feels it was to be expected. And Shane lets Ashley know he doesn't know if he's going to be able to get on board with Grace. And Ashley explains that Shane and Grace's first meeting, it was a big train wreck. There were sides of Grace that Ashley hadn't seen yet, and it was really disappointing to Ashley. But Ashley says, Grace, she was disrespectful to Shane. It didn't go well at all. She's not ready to count her out yet. Shane assumed that Grace and Ashley would have been much closer already after 6 or 7 dates. And Ashley says the way she was with Grace during this lunch date, how they interacted, that is the norm for their relationship. And Shane felt that it was really more platonic between Grace and Ashley. It was like having dinner with just a friend. He didn't really see Ashley being all in love with those vibes, being giddy and happy. So the whole thing just didn't make sense to Shane. Shane sees a lot of red flags with Grace. He says red flag number one is Grace didn't want to meet him when Ashley and Grace first started talking. Shane says Grace seemed full of herself, and that's another red flag. Also, the life coaching job was a red flag for Shane. And Grace thinking she is some kind of therapist, to Shane, he says that was bonkers. He says she has no formal training. She has no formal schooling. And his wife, Ashley, is an actual psychologist. She studied for 12 years of her life to become an actual psychologist. So Ashley felt the spirituality stuff that Grace was mentioning to Shane, that was weird. And Shane felt the comments Grace made about therapy were weird. And Ashley admits she was uncomfortable. And Shane also felt that Ashley was uncomfortable, that the way Ashley's body language was in front of Grace changed. And he says that's a huge red flag. He says if Ashley is uncomfortable when the two people she's trying to bring together are just trying to have a conversation upon first meeting and it's getting that tense, it's a huge red flag. Shane really doesn't want Ashley to feel like that. And Shane didn't fully agree with everything that Grace was saying. And Ashley agrees with that. Shane feels weird and he doesn't think Grace is trying to steal Ashley away from him, but he feels that there is an element of her just really wanting Ashley and that Grace will maybe try to get Ashley to like her more than Shane. Ashley feels like Grace has a wall up and she feels like even if Shane had mentioned something simple like the sky color, Grace would have found something wrong with it and she would have had some judgment there. Shane says he doesn't want somebody in their life who is going to undermine him. And Ashley feels like she still needs to take time to consider everything with Grace. She doesn't want to make a decision in an emotional mindset. So Shane makes it clear it's a no for him regarding Grace. And Ashley isn't willing to write Grace off just because her husband says no. Ashley says she respects what Shane has to say. She'll take it into consideration, but she is still considering progressing things with Grace regardless of Shane's hard no. And it concerns Shane that Ashley is still considering Grace, even though he's totally opposed to her. He's shocked by Ashley's response, and Shane wonders what Ashley is seeing in Grace that she is holding on to because he says he didn't see it. If one person in a marriage says no to a potential sister wife, I just don't see how the other one is still considering that person. It feels just as selfish as what Garrick is doing to Danielle. What's Ashley going to do? She has one baby with Shane and another one on the way, and Shane is committed to her, and he is agreeing to a sister wife so Ashley can explore her bisexuality and so she can have a support system. If Ashley would be willing to consider a sister wife, even after Shane is completely against it, against this person, I just don't know how much Ashley really considers Shane's feelings at all. It feels like she's considering herself first, even though she is married to Shane with one baby and one on the way. I think if she really respects her husband, if he knows he just doesn't like the potential sister wife at all and they don't click and there's no chemistry to the point where it's all negative vibes from day one, I think Ashley should really respect that he isn't feeling it, especially after her just having witnessed how disrespectful and condescending Grace was to him. There's a million red flags here, but if Ashley's loyalty and respect was ultimately to her kids and her husband, I think Grace would be a no for her as well after seeing the lack of respect that Grace had for Shane on day one. If she really respects her husband and her kids, and Shane feels completely disrespected by Grace and there's an incompatibility there, she should respect that it's a hard no from Shane and move on. Next up are the Merrifields, and they make it to Mexico to meet Natalia and Natalia's mom. Garrick is excited. Danielle says that this is a serious step, and they are bringing their sons on this trip because they feel so strongly about Natalia being the one. They feel so strongly, or Garrick feels so strongly. Garrick says a lot could happen in Mexico, so it's important to bring his boys because they could be adding a wife and a sister to the family. This is so damaging for the kids to see. They're going to get older and they are going to be so resentful. Kids are incredibly observant. They see the pain their mom goes through because of their dad's selfishness, and they will grow up to resent their dad and their parents in general. They will grow up and they're going to get to an age where they reflect back on how they were parented, on the dynamics in their family, on their parents' relationship and those dynamics between their mom and dad. And they're probably going to have a lot of resentment and a lot of unresolved issues looking back. And let's also hope they understand one day as men how to treat their wives or partners. And let's hope they understand the suffering it causes if they treat their partners the way their dad treated their mom. Danielle mistakenly says that they're so nervous to meet Roberta. She's nervous and she's wondering, what if Garrick likes Natalia and she doesn't? She worries, what if they aren't ready for this? And it overwhelms her. And Garrick says he thinks his wife is scared about if it doesn't work out because there's always that possibility. But he says that doesn't mean you still shouldn't do something. Danielle asks straight up, what if it's too soon? Clearly it's too soon for her and she's not ready. And Garrick tells her it's still a blessing no matter what. Basically, shut your mouth and pretend to be happy about this because I'll leave you in a fucking New York minute. Garrick is so fucking gross. Every time Danielle brings up a valid point, Garrick invalidates her by mentioning God and platitudes and about how it's a blessing even still. He completely ignores Danielle's voice. He completely ignores where she's at or her concerns. It's not at all about Danielle's emotional well-being. being. This is about Garrick's dick. And clearly, Garrick's dick is numero uno to Garrick. Garrick says they really connect with Natalia. And Danielle connects with her too. Garrick is nervous. He's excited. And he feels like he is definitely going to ask Natalia to marry him. Then they can move forward. That's how hard up this guy is to get sex. That's all he cares about. Sex. What should be numero uno to Garrick is his wife, Danielle, and his sons. That should be numero uno to Garrick, not what he could do with his dick. The boys don't seem too excited to meet Natalia. One son tells his dad that he and his mom are probably way more excited than he is, or his brother is, to meet Natalia. And Danielle wants there to be lots of bonding time, lots of interaction with the boys and Natalia. Danielle wants to see how they all bond together. Losing Roberta really affected the boys. Losing Roberta disheartened the boys. They were really close to Roberta. They connected with her. They communicated with her a lot. And it really made the boys apprehensive going forward. They wonder, is somebody really going to stick around if they bond with them? You know, why are the boys even meeting Natalia before their mom and dad have ever even met her in real life? You have to be discerning. You have to be really careful about who you let your kids around, about who you let your children attach to and bond with. I don't feel these kids should be meeting Natalia until Danielle and Garrick have known Natalia for a very long time, have seen her in person multiple times, really know her well in real life, in person, that they know this is going to be a permanent thing before they even ever introduce the kids to her. This is ridiculous. It's fucked up. Danielle thinks this is a really big step. It's she and Garrick's first serious relationship since Roberta. But Danielle is hopeful it's going to work out with Natalia. She's also nervous that it might not work out. So she has a lot of really mixed feelings about this. We have a twist though. Early in the morning, the next day, producers are called to Garrick's room. And we learn that they are not going to be letting Natalia get on the plane. Danielle doesn't understand. And Garrick, he's speechless. He doesn't know what to say. They are saying that Natalia needs a visa to get on the plane. And apparently, she doesn't have one. So Garrick FaceTimes Natalia and he tells her in his creepy, lifeless, monotone voice, "We're trying to figure things out, love. This girl supposedly studied to be a lawyer, but she couldn't figure out she needed a visa to visit from her country to Mexico. Seriously? This girl is pissing on Garrick's leg, telling him it's raining, and he is drinking it up like he's been thirsty, wandering the arid desert for days and days. What a fucking fool." Danielle explains that things are changing in the laws right now, and Brazilians can't just come to Mexico without a visa on just a passport. They are going to need a visa that will approve them to come to Mexico. And Garrick says they booked their tickets, they showed up at the airport, and the Brazilians are saying the Mexican government is giving them problems. But the Mexican government websites don't say anything about this visa issue. So Garrick doesn't know what's going on, and he talks to Natalia through the translator app. And Natalia tells Danielle she tried fixing this before calling them, and it appears her request wasn't processed, and she says it's not her fault. There's an error in the system. Sure there is. Natalia claims she can't get back in the system. No, oh no. There are errors. There are bugs. She can't get in. She can't get in. And Garrick is almost in tears. But the producer reveals that two of their people have just tried to log into this site successfully. They made it work just in the last 10 minutes. So something reeks. Yeah, Natalia. Garrick, in his disgusting, skin-tight, extra-medium shirt with his nippies poking out, has a blank expression on his face. All he can say is, "I don't know. I don't know." He says, after everything that happened in the past with Roberta, he wonders if Natalia is a liar. And Danielle wonders, does Natalia really want to come meet them? Does Natalia really want to be a part of their family? She wonders if Natalia is getting cold feet. Garrick explains that it's emotional for both of them, and it's so hard to sift through everything. It's so hard to sift through what is really going on. Listen, it doesn't take a genius. This chick gets all the money she wants from Garrick, and when it came time to have to meet him and do the deed and possibly have to commit to the creepiest man alive with the most monotone voice in the world, she didn't want to come. She made excuses, and the producers tried to access the site. They debunked her bullshit claims, and the site works fine with no errors like Natalia claims she encountered. Natalia took all she could from Garrick, and she doesn't want to pretend any longer. She doesn't want Garrick anywhere near her, and the producers already disproved Natalia's lie. So what is there to get, really? What is it that they don't understand? Garrick should really just be a man and enjoy this vacation with his wife, who desperately wants his attention, who loves him despite her own emotional well-being, her self-worth, despite what she deserves. She loves this man. Their two kids are with them. These two should get it through their heads that they're being conned, and they should take their kids and enjoy this vacation. They should be thankful they caught it so early, take the red flag, accept the L, and they should turn lemons into lemonade by enjoying a great family vacation in Mexico. And Garrick should learn to appreciate his wife more, because she loves the fuck out of him, even though he doesn't give a fuck about her. Danielle needs to listen to her gut, and Garrick needs to listen to Danielle. Natalia tells Garrick and Danielle she doesn't think it's going to be possible to try to solve this so quickly. And she says the reason why is because many Brazilians are paying people with advanced software systems to be able to issue a visa. She needs money. She needs money, honey. She wants money to supposedly expedite this visa process. This chick is smart. She knows how pussy-whipped and stupid Garrick is. She knows he will do anything. She knows he's desperate, he's thirsty, and he's going to have to pay for that magic pussy. Garrick and Danielle don't volunteer any money, so Natalia calls Garrick love, and she tells him, love, I'll call you back in 20 minutes. Danielle is confused. She says she's confused by this, and Garrick doesn't know anything. How dumb are these two? I know this is scripted, but if these two people respect themselves at all, they would at least pump the brakes on this and call a spade, because they know what's up. They can't be that fucking stupid. Next up is the Davis family. Nick is in shock. Some ominous music is playing, and Nick reveals he didn't anticipate this, but shortly before the crew was ready to film, the producer got a call from Nick, and Danielle moved out. She moved out without warning anyone. You go, girl. Good for her. Nick tells Jennifer and April that he was in bed with Vera, and he could hear the commotion of Danielle moving stuff. When he came upstairs, he went up to the kitchen, and he noticed that all the plants were gone from the windowsill. Those were Danielle's plants. Then Danielle came back inside the house from loading her car up, and he asked Danielle about the plants, about where they had gone, and Danielle told Nick very matter-of-factly that she was moving out, she got her own apartment, and she is leaving. You go, girl. Best decision ever you'll make in your life. Good for her. April and Jennifer are in tears at this news. So Nick told Danielle she has to do what feels is best for herself. He told her he still loved her, and he stood there in disbelief. He watched her as she continued to take her stuff out to the car. Why wasn't he a gentleman? Why didn't he help her load it? Nick says that was it. Within an hour, she was all packed up. She was gone. Nick says there were times when he could tell that Danielle was having some struggles, but he feels the rug got pulled out from under him. He's the victim. He didn't anticipate this, and neither did Jennifer or April. Nick says he asked Danielle several times if there was something they did wrong or if he did something wrong, and Danielle said she just isn't sure what she wants to do with herself. And it makes Jennifer wonder what she could have done better as a sister wife. And April doesn't know if it's that or if Danielle has decided she just doesn't want to be in this kind of a relationship. April wonders if Danielle maybe just wants a monogamous relationship. Nick didn't press Danielle enough while she was moving out. That's what he says. He says he didn't get Danielle's reasoning. He didn't get any answers from her. He didn't get any closure from her. Jennifer feels there were no answers. There was no goodbye. And April is shocked that Danielle left while she and Jen were at work without even discussing it with them. Jennifer says Danielle probably just didn't want anybody to try and stop her. Now, as Nick, Jennifer, and April are discussing this, Danielle messages April and she wishes them all the best. And she says she didn't realize what she was doing and she has a lot to figure out. And she says she loves them a lot, she misses them a lot, and that will never change. April hopes that Danielle realizes how much she means to them. And she doesn't want Danielle to think that just because she left like that, that she can't come back. And April thinks that they should all make that clear to her that she is still always welcome to come back. So Nick is going to try to reach out to Danielle in the hopes that Danielle is willing to talk to him. Nick says their family is everything to them, and he can't even put into words how painful it is for them to lose Danielle. And April says it's not them just losing Danielle, it's also her son William and Vera losing a mom. April doesn't know how they're going to tell their kids. Jennifer doesn't understand why Danielle left without talking to them first. How could they not understand what was going on with Danielle? Each time Jennifer, April, or Nick mentioned dating or bringing sister wives in, or that Danielle would have to marry the woman, she told them she wasn't ready. She would cringe. She would wince on her face. You could tell that she wasn't ready. She made her feelings clear and everyone would ignore her and get frustrated with her. She made it clear she wasn't ready yet to date. She just wanted to adjust to polygamy. She wanted to adjust to being a wife and to being a mom. She wasn't ready to date. She wasn't ready to add more wives yet. She wasn't ready to marry this one potential woman. And no one listened to Danielle. No one understood where she was at. They didn't care about her emotions or her well-being. They ignored her feelings. And all they did was railroad her. And they talked about how eager they were to expand the family. They put pressure on her. And they acted disappointed in Danielle whenever she would express that she wasn't ready to date yet. It's obvious to anyone with two brain cells to rub together, if these people really cared about Danielle at all, they will just let her go without manipulating her, without using their emotions as a way to get her back in. Just let her be free. Now, Nick says, as the head of the household, this is something he should have seen coming, but he didn't see it. He's not the head of anything, let alone his household. Nick's wives pay for him. They pay for his whole existence. His wives feed him, they clothe him, and they house this man. He would be a pauper if not for his wives. He isn't the head of himself, let alone his family. But people who live off of their egos allow their own sick minds to deceive them. They overestimate themselves, overestimate what they're capable of. Nick says the three of them are united in wanting Danielle to come back to the family. He hopes they can get past this, but for right now, they just have to maintain the status quo. I personally hope Danielle goes with her gut. She goes with her heart, and I hope she cuts her losses. I hope she moves forward. She should never go back. She was very unhappy. Her voice wasn't heard, and I feel she deserves so much better for herself. I hope Danielle stands strong in her conviction that this isn't the right situation for her. When you are that young, it can be really hard to be discerning. And it can be really hard to separate your heart from your mind. But I have faith that Danielle can do it, and it's a good thing that Danielle felt enough of a red flag in her gut to move out, and I think she did great. That does it for this episode. I'll be back soon with the next episode of Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 3. Thanks for listening. Bye.